crazy. Hey, but that's how it goes.
I need to go to a happier place.
I feel romantic.
Get up, Ozzy.
Just go to bed, darling.
All right, change the subject. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
How's everyone doing?
Fine.
I just had a big breakfast and I feel like I want to go back to bed.
There you go.
There you go.
Kel? Seize the day.
I am doing fabulous.
Good. OT, how are you doing?
OT. Feeling a bit rough.
Good.
She's my baby. She's a good girl.
Today's topic is about something we all know very well, Ozzfest.
Love it.
Are we ever going to do another Ozzfest?
Great question. That's more of a question for you, good sir.
No, you're all Ozborns. It's not me.
Well,
I think it is.
I don't think anyone's going to show up if it's me, yeah. Mum, and Jack piss farting around.
No, but
on stage.
They didn't all come to see me. There was
no.
Lots of other bands on there. I mean, yeah. You could get a headliner. It doesn't have to be me.
Be much better if it was, though.
Namesake.
How many years did Ozzfest run?
The last one we did was in
with
2018 on New Year's Eve.
That counted as an Ozzfest?
Yeah, it was an Ozzfest.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was Dad's last gig.
Last gig on New Year's Eve at the Forum.
So it went from 1996 to 2018, yes, with a few breaks in between.
Yeah.
Is this hard for you to talk about?
No, not at all.
What inspired you? Like, for people that don't know, Mom, explain what Ozzfest was.
Ozzfest was a touring festival for hard edge music. And the best part of it was we had a second stage for new and upcoming bands.
Wasn't there a time there were three stages?
Yes.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
What was that one all about?
Just all about new bands. You know, we had so many bands.
Was it like bands that were formed that morning?
It was like, are you a fledgling or are you a... No, what it was so there was never a break in music. So one band on the side stage would end and then immediately stage three would start. Yeah, so there was never a lull without music while there were set changes going on.
I don't know whether I'm right in saying this, but I think greed got involved in it booking certain bands.
It was a very weird beast because all the bands were our mates, but the managers were greedy, and for some reason they thought that we were making
billions
on it, and we weren't. We made a profit, but it was not like we couldn't retire on it. And managers and agents wanted more and more and more, and it just wasn't cost effective anymore.
So is that ultimately why Ozzfest?
We stopped. Yeah, because it just wasn't cost effective.
Your mother used to be on she's on the phone a lot now, but when that was going down, it was fucking insane.
I mean, years and years ago, one of the bands, it was the second Ozzfest we did, or the third, wouldn't go on stage until I agreed to give them $10,000 more. And they were holding everything up. And I said, of course, I'll give it you.
What band? Say it.
Say it.
Danzig. And
why are you going to protect that twat?
And then I didn't give them the money. They went on, played, and I went, fuck you.
Yeah, they signed a contract,
didn't
they?
You signed a contract, your agent agreed it, and you're just gouging.
Didn't they get in trouble with paedophilia or something?
No.
No, it was just...
They liked young girls.
Young girls backstage, and they were taking pictures of their dicks in the young girls' mouths and putting them on laminates and parading them around backstage. It's disgusting.
Weren't they on Hollywood Records?
I don't remember what
record. I think they were.
They were.
They were on Hollywood. I went to Disney and complained because I said, this is a disgrace. I remember it. Now it's all coming back to me.
It's all coming back to me.
I have such a vivid memory of those laminates and the pictures, and because it was, I was really, really young.
Young, yeah.
I was so young, and I remember the manager.
Didn't you? Was it the tour manager or the manager you kicked out of Ozfest because they had the picture on his laminate?
Yeah. It's all coming back now. Yeah. They were all nasty. Nasty.
That was 96 or 97.
94.
No. It was 97. And 97. It wasn't what we
nasty
were.
Or nasties.
Nasty
people.
Like, Ozfest started in 1996. So I was about to turn 11. So I was 10 and you were about to turn 12. I mean, the first Ozfest, we were all very reserved by it.
We were
kind of best behavior because it was so big. And it
Minnie
was,
and Maggie.
The dogs were there.
Minnie and Maggie, yeah.
But it was it
the
was
front
so,
of the butter.
But it was so big, we were intimidated by it because we would only ever be
in
backstage.
The main stage, backstage. We'd go to catering, kind of see people. They wouldn't really talk to us that much.
Yeah.
Everyone's like a horse. I can get on it and get out of it.
Oh, God. Fucking Phil from Pantera.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God.
He used to give me, don't do drugs and don't drink advice.
Yeah.
He'd be
but
like,
then simultaneously giving us Crown Royal and Wild Turkey. So it never really made sense.
No. Well, at least Crown Royal comes in a
nice bag.
Velvet
I know.
Yeah, it comes out the other end.
I remember, I have a fucking memory. One time I was in Pantera's dressing room, it was with Vinny and Dime. Dime had handed me a shot. I'm about to drink it. And she fucking walks into the dressing room. And
she,
I'm like,
again, the cat's mother.
My mother walks into the dressing room. And I'm like, ugh. And then they handed her one. And we were just like, all right. We just did a shot. And I was like, maybe 15.
It tasted like
I'm going to get in so much trouble. And she was like, oh, fuck it. And we just drank it.
It tasted like sick.
It's horrible. Horrible. It's so strong.
Never tried it.
Oh, it's
what?
Revolting.
You never tried
you
Wild Turkey?
Fucking liar.
Never tried Crown Royal, ever.
You've never drank Crown Royal?
No, Hennessy.
Oh, my God.
Daddy was a Hennessy man.
You know who got me on a drink for a while? Was Uncle Zach introduced me to Crown Royal and ginger ale.
I liked that. And old Crown Royal and Sprite. That's what...
I remember when Zach first joined me, we went to England. And when we used to live at Beale House, the guy next door used to make his own fucking George, but George's wine. It was like fucking moonshine. And Zach goes, there's a big mound of sand in the yard. And he couldn't find his way back from my studio to the house. And he was climbing up, he threw up at the top and rolled back down and he puked.
Oh, Zach.
Zachy boy. He's clean and sober now.
Good.
He's got quite a bit of Sprite, hasn't he?
He's got years. Yeah, he's doing brilliantly.
How many times did you hide in other bands' dressing rooms from mum and dad?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It was like a daily thing.
Daily. Hiding in dressing rooms, buses. I got my first tattoo in the back of Hatebreed's tour bus.
Yep.
When I was 16 and wasted.
What was that?
I had it done in white ink and it said mum. And I bought an ounce of weed and got a tattoo in the same sitting. Great.
That's brilliant, Jack. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was it good weed?
It was great weed, yeah. It was in Colorado.
Oh my God. Like, don't even tell me about it. I'm like,
And you know what? And because we were flying on the plane back to LA, I was like, fuck, how am I gonna get this home? So I had him like vacuum seal it like 6 times and I had it in my backpack and the whole flight home, I'm like, I'm going to prison. I'm fucking flying with an ounce of weed. I'm fucked. I'm like, I was so paranoid that somehow, somewhere, there'd be a fucking sniffer dog and I was going to go to prison for transporting
an
ounce of
weed. I'm glad you did have an uncomfortable flight.
But you know, you're talking about every time, even now. I go through it, but I think, I cannot find cocaine in my bag.
Unless it was like 35-year-old cocaine.
I know, but that's my paranoia. I always think,
You know what I do? This is like not. It's obviously not the same thing, but obviously I shoot a lot, so I have
gunpowder and stuff.
Well,
like
yeah,
that.
Like I'm always I have like bags that no firearms, no bullets, nothing ever go anywhere near as my travel bags because I just don't want like a bullet or something to be in my backpack when I travel.
Oh, one time, Daddy was eating popcorn on the plane, and he used to wear a fanny pack. And the popcorn seeds went into his fanny pack. And so they're searching Daddy as he's come back into the country. And they see these seeds, popcorn things.
And they think they're like drug seeds.
And they're going, what is this? I said, it's popcorn. They're going, no, it's not. I said, that is popcorn.
Put it in a fucking pan.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember coming in from Hawaii?
Just now.
Just now? We haven't been to Hawaii for a year.
No, he's talking about that trip.
Oh, no. No, years ago when you came into Hawaii.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
What'd you have?
Oh, they stripped him and whipped him.
I come from Japan back to America and I landed to come into America from Hawaii. I've got a leather fucking coat on, leather pants. Zach and fucking Randy Castillo were fucked up on the plane. So and I'm standing at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's fucking 1,000 degrees on, and I'm dying.
Last night's stage makeup on.
I've got the makeup on. And the guy said, what are you coming here for? I said, I'm coming back from Japan. He said, are you doing work here? I said, no, I'm going to a wedding. It's Joni's wedding.
Joni's wedding, yeah.
So he goes, well, you haven't got the right paper. I said, well, I'm working in the mainland. Which the guy goes, what do you mean the mainland? What's that kind of talk? Because he's not supposed to say the mainland. I don't fucking know. So they put me in a different holding cell, which is a fucking cage with these other people. It's all open, like a corral. And I said to the guy, every time I'm out, he goes, shut up. I'll speak to you. You can only speak when I speak to you. I said, can I phone my wife? She's leaving from England to come to this wedding. If you're not going to allow me in. And I had to phone the mayor or something. I had to pay $25 for a special stamp on my wife. It was fucking horrendous.
Well, you're a criminal.
The Osbournes podcast is sponsored by Infinity Massage Chair. The Infinity Chair is a must-have in the Osborne household. Right, Dad?
Fantastic.
Because it does so much more than just massage your body. It helps reduce so much build-up tension and stress. What's your favorite part about the chair?
Shut up, I'm out of massage room.
Sorry. My favorite part about the Infinity Chair is just how deep it gets. Why settle for anything less when you can have the best? Infinity is a number one in luxury massage chairs. Say goodbye to stress and hello to ultimate relaxation. Right, Dad?
Oh, fantastic. Oh, it's unbelievable, this chair.
It's oddly good, right?
You know, I have regular massage, but this is as good as any.
I actually think so. Like, I actually get more relaxed in this than I do with a regular massage.
It's on my back right now. It's getting a really deep massage. I love it.
Yeah,
usually these chairs are kind of like
wimpy.
This is great. This is like a real massage.
Gets deep. Gets down to the bone.
The deepness is wonderful.
Get $4,000 off the Infinity GenMax 4D Massage Chair. Visit infinitymassagechairs.com/Osbournes. That's infinitymassagechairs.com/Osbournes.
You know, I really recommend this chair. I'm not just saying that. It's fantastic. Oh, so anxious. Oh.
All right, we'll leave you. We won't interrupt anymore.
It's unbelievable, this chair.
Which you went to nearly every one, you guys, didn't you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Every single one.
Which one would you say was the best one of the last?
Oh.
98
was the best year ever.
Hands down, the best Ozfest. Every one thereafter was compared to 98.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Like, at the end of every Ozfest, people would be like, was it as good? Wasn't it as good?
Because it was like, Ozfest was our summer camp.
98, it was you, Tool, Limp Bizkit,
Incubus,
Snot, System of a Down.
I always remember that Snot guy.
Yeah, Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn.
Loved him.
Yeah,
I
98
was.
Lynn.
He was great.
He knocked my door every fucking night. He knocked my door. He said, "Can I hide out in your dressing room?"
Like, what have you done today, Lynn?
Yeah,
what the fuck have you done now?
He went on because Limp Bizkit. they had a giant toilet bowl as their set piece. Mm-hmm. And he climbed up the toilet bowl and during Limp Bizkit's set had a porn star give him a blowjob while Limp Bizkit were playing. Everyone went nuts because you can't fucking do that. He went running naked through backstage and burst into Dad's dressing room naked, being like,
I totally forgot about that.
Hey, Oz, can I hide in here? And hid in Dad's toilet because security, the police or whoever couldn't get him.
He was always, every day there was something else with Lynn. He was a character.
The last gig, he goes, hey, Oz, I've saved this bud for you. Give me a fucking marijuana bud.
But Whitfield was on that Life of Agony.
Yeah. Whitfield, we miss you.
You know, Whitfield. Oh, can we do a gig? One off gig is somewhere Mongolia or somewhere, and he'll be there, and I'll go, what the fuck are you doing here?
Whitfield is a true man nomad.
He's kind of like your.
You know what I admire about him. He's got. He seems to have his life. You know.
He's got it. It's he has his own rhythm.
Whitfield, we miss you, man.
Yeah, love Whitfield. But yeah, so I think for me, you know, Ozfest
was Korn on that tour?
No, Korn didn't. Korn did 2003.
2003.
Yeah.
Love them too.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like who else was on that tour in the second stage because that's where we hung out the most.
Yeah. Well, Soulfly headlined second stage.
I remember that.
Yeah. But like Incubus and System of a Down were like baby bands then.
Yeah.
They were like, they had just been signed.
They were like our big brothers, Incubus were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great guys.
We had so much fun with them.
Well, no, I mean, speaking of that, no one realizes, but Incubus played on your very first song.
Yeah. It was Papa Mikey Don't and Jose played all the instruments on Papa Don't Preach and helped me do my very first single.
Yeah. It's a little.
And what single got you a number one?
Well, and what single got you a number one?
Yeah, okay. Rephrase. What single got us number one?
Changes.
There you go.
That was great.
It was such fun in those days. Why? So it was so
yeah,
different.
It was great.
Why did you decide? Because I know there's a lot of misnomers about Ozfest, about, oh, why did it start? You know, there's a lot of, you know, you say it was because of. Well, some people say it was because Dad got denied from
Lollapalooza. It's true.
But didn't when Dad played Lollapalooza, though, I remember seeing a conversation between you and Perry, and he was like, no one ever asked Ozzy to do Lollapalooza.
No, nobody ever asked us to do it. I got my Ozzy's agent to say, Ozzy's free this summer. We'd like to do Lollapalooza. And they came back and they said, no, Ozzy's not cool enough.
Ozzy's a dinosaur.
It was like, you're not cool, so you can't come on. And it was like, oh really? Okay. Mm. And they were very diverse in the acts that they chose. I just said, well, we're going to stick to what we know. We're going to go with Hard Edge. That's it. And we're going to do our own festival.
Do you guys feel, because truth be told, and I don't know if this is just me kind of looking at it through my own Osborne lens, but when Ozfest stopped as a touring festival, I believe you could actually track the decline in the popularity in hard rock.
These other festivals took over. Moving other hard edge festivals.
But nobody was bringing new bands into the mix.
And no one was breaking new bands.
No, they weren't.
Who, like, you can't, no offense, but other touring festivals.
You know, let me put in one sec. You know what band, I met the guy from In Living Colour. And he said, why you never approached us to do Ozfest? I thought, that's right, man. You know, In Living Colour.
Yeah.
Sure.
Why didn't they ever get on us?
I honestly don't know.
Have you heard the guitar player? Guitar player is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's a.
Listen, we had Jada Pinkett Smith on.
Yeah.
She asked to come on. We went to see her band. They were really good.
She was saying we've asked her time and time again. And I said, no.
No. No, that's not true.
Well, that's what.
No, they would have never been turned down time and time again. They were too good a band to be turned down. I honestly don't know. It's one of those, I suppose, that fell through the cracks. I just can't think.
But
to that, you know, the point I'm making though is that no other touring heavy metal festival broke bands like Ozzfest did.
No,
like,
no, they didn't.
You know, Tattoo the World or Knotfest. I know they're family, but like, where was the Slipknot to come from Slipknot's festival?
Did they have one?
Yeah, they have one. Yeah, they have one.
Yeah. Slipfest.
Knotfest. No. It was Tattoo the World, and then it turned into Knotfest. Yeah. But like,
did it do good?
Yeah, it still
does. There's a heavy metal band that Sid works with called Swollen Teeth, and they're doing really, really well. And
I think that's a great title for a band.
What?
Swollen Teeth.
And they're doing their second record right now.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's some, but it's not to what you're saying, though.
Yeah,
there's
no Limp Bizkit.
Comparison.
There's no Disturbed. There's no
Slipknot. There's no
System. There's no Incubus. All those bands. Obviously, we can't take credit for the fact that they're phenomenal musicians and amazing songwriters and amazing performers, but they all had huge success after Ozzfest.
But that was the whole thing of it. And it was like we were a family going out on the road listening to bands that you guys liked. You always used to come in with your list. And it was like it was a touring family event.
If it was Mum and I, we wouldn't have had a fucking clue what the...
No, I think you guys would have. You guys have always had an ability to pick amazing bands. The amount of bands that opened for you that went on to have huge success is insane.
Yeah.
Think about it. Metallica, Motley Crue. The other bands we just listed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so many bands open for you and go on to have huge success.
Yeah.
But that's what's so good about it, being able to give great new talent a forum to go and do it and play in front of huge crowds.
I tell you something, since I've been laid up, you know, Jonathan from Korn has been so fucking supportive. And I didn't really know him that well. Okay, I texted him when his wife died.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, if you need a chat, just go on the phone to me. And he's never forgotten it. And he's been so consistent in the last 5 years. Come on, brother, you can fucking... And it means so much to you.
That's great.
When you're fucking laid up, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Slash has been the same.
David from Disturbed.
Yeah.
It goes on and on and on, Ozzy, the people that have
was
supported
Disturbed
you.
Was Disturbed on in 98?
Yeah. Not 98. It was 99.
Great guys.
Yeah.
David has always been a huge supporter.
Yeah.
But so many of these guys have, you know, Corey.
Yeah.
From Slipknot has always been a huge supporter. And Clown. So it's... we're blessed to have come out of it with a lot of friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think that's what's really...
System.
Yeah. I mean,
the guys in System are the best.
Ozzfest cultivated a real community, I think.
I think so, too.
I said backstage was really...
Oh,
it was the most fun backstage. There is nothing that has ever come before like it, and there's nothing that will ever be like it. It was... The most, especially when Pantera on tour.
Oh, that was amazing.
It was so fun.
I remember.
You guys had the best time, best growing up in summer.
Did you guys worry about us running around?
Oh, absolutely. I remember when you had a scooter, you're going, Dad, someone stole my drugs. Get him another one.
My scooter got stolen.
And it was probably one of the bands.
No, it wasn't. It was a fan stole it.
No.
Yeah.
That's
how did they get backstage?
It's because the way the buses were parked.
It was a car park.
It was like a plastic string that
divided the car park from the bus parking lot, and someone just nicked it. And
what was your best memory of the buses?
Oh man.
Bus
swap? What was that again?
Where we'd all pick and go on.
Do you remember Ollie's band show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Flashpoint.
Of course I remember Ollie's band.
Fucking hell.
So many great memories. Just great memories.
But I don't believe Ollie's around anymore.
No, he's not. No, he's really passed a long time ago.
But no, honestly, did you guys worry about us?
Mm.
Yes.
Kind of. I was had too many things.
Who did you worry most about? Me.
Yeah, because you were like the middle child. And I always thought Jack will come back and find us. Amy, I never saw anyway. She was off with whoever.
She was locked
in the back.
She
never came out of the bus.
She was just in the back lounge listening to Porter's Head.
Is the loneliest number that we'll ever do.
No.
Over and over again.
It was Porter's Head.
Yeah, but that song over again. It was driving me nuts.
And it was you because you were so friendly with everyone. Just like instantly, like you've known them all your life. And then I'd be like, oh, you know them. No, I don't. No, I've just met them, Mum. And I'm like, oh.
They're coming with us on tour now. I found these orphan children.
It was a bag full of poop on the bus thrown.
That was one of my friends. And she had this whole thing where she's like, if I hold it, I'm going to get sick. And then throw up, and I can't throw up. And I was like, you're not going to throw up from not shitting. You're fine. And she had this whole panic attack. So we ended up having to, like, a full-blown panic attack because she needed to shit. And so we put a bin bag inside the toilet on the bus. And just so everyone knows is that the number one rule of the road is that you cannot poo on the tour bus.
Unless it's a specific toilet, which this one wasn't.
This was not. And so she shit in the bag, and then we wrapped it up, and then somehow it kind of became a sick, fucked up game where the bus driver ended up getting almost slapped around the head with this bag of shit, and he went insane.
Our bus
he stopped the bus on the freeway, didn't he?
Yeah. Right.
No, so, you threw it onto somebody's windscreen.
No, that was not shit on someone's windscreen.
No, the
salad dressing that had oil in it.
And didn't they call the police?
Yes.
And I said, I had nothing to do with it because I was like, guys, I don't think you should do that.
And Nick Core came out and dealt with it, right?
Yeah.
So
I remember.
Because you saw us running down the freeway.
No, they were on the plane. It wasn't, we had
no,
two
what
buses.
Was the time when the...
We were on a bus.
You were on another...
When Dad was on a bus and he saw us running away from the bus driver because he said he was going to whoop us with his belt.
We had our own bus.
Adult supervision.
So you had fun, didn't you?
We had a great fucking
time. It was the best fucking summer. Our bus was janky and old. It was a fucking Eagle from the 70s.
No, it wasn't
old. It was.
It wasn't that
old. It had a bit
of
a...
Do you really think Mum would have put us in an old shitty bus?
No, Mom, I wouldn't.
Excuse me. I remember this bus. It was really old, but it had a redo, and that's why you took it.
Okay.
I don't remember it being that. I remember it being almost
like at least it had a redo.
And then as time went on, it was the kids' bus and then Amy's bus.
Yeah.
Because she wanted nothing to do with us. So she had her own bus. And then we had the crazy kid bus.
And as time went on, there was less and less and less supervision until there was just no adult on the bus.
And then Big Dave.
And then we had Big Dave. And then it got too crazy not having adult supervision. So Mum pulled in Big Dave.
I remember one of the very last like fist fights you and I had.
Jack, it was so bad. You beat the shit out of me.
And you pulled a chunk of my hair out.
Go again.
Like it was like a foot, like a baseball sized chunk of my hair. I'm not fighting with them. We're just talking about a fight we had.
Yes, it does.
You two can fucking
nostrils
talk.
Nostrils are fucking flaring here.
Hey, shit happens.
Crazy Town was on that tour that summer.
Oh my God. Anyway, let's just move on from them.
That summer was so fun. And that bus.
That was 99.
That bus driver fucking hated us.
And that
I wonder why.
That was when we did the documentary. That was Ozfest 99. And what's the Ozfest documentary, which is now finally getting, hopefully getting to see the light of day.
Yes.
Ozfest 99.
It's a prime example of how things have changed, though. 25 years ago, to get the Ozfest documentary release would have cost millions of dollars in licensing music and having bands sign off on it and all that, just in that alone. And now, fast forward 25 years, for the most part, everyone's like, yes, please, just release it.
Well, there's some historical people. Wayne Static.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath's been on the road for 30 years.
Yeah.
Did you picture yourself in that same position later?
You never know if you're still going to be valid when you're that old, you know?
I mean, there's some great stuff on
What's
him.
What's that mean, Static?
Wayne Static from the band Static. He's since passed. And, you know, there's lots of people who are no longer with us
that are no longer together, you know?
Yeah. And it's
oh, look at Pantera.
Yeah, well, they were 99. No, it was Rob Zombie 99.
Yeah, Rob Zombie.
He was always great when he was.
Rob Zombie's a great friend of mine. Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Great at what he does. Yeah. Come on, he's so talented.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
And it was always fun when his wife was on tour.
Always. And she had her cats with her?
Yeah.
Or dogs?
Yeah, they had their cats.
Just the
I'm guessing it's been 25 years. I'm not sure the same cats are still around.
You never know.
The cats live
really
a long ass time.
Cats live to about...
Always has to go back to the cats. Always.
Hey there, it's Kelly Osbourne, and the Osbournes podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life can throw us some unexpected curveballs, and there are times when we've just... uncertain about which path to take. I've been there, and I know how tough it can be. I've watched my friends go through all sorts of stuff, from significant life events such as moving to a new city, getting married, starting a new career, or for me, like now, starting a family. Life can be pretty complicated. Therapy helps you become the best version of yourself. It's personally teaching me healthier ways to approach the challenges and crossroads I'm facing. Therapy makes me feel safe and supported moving forward. BetterHelp is the best. It's all online and super easy to start. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and you're done. Why wouldn't you want to start? Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Osbournes today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Osbournes. Who is the naughtiest band ever on...
Snot.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So Snot, they were a local band from Santa Barbara. They kind of came up at the same time as System and Incubus, and they were a part of the new metal LA scene in the late 90s.
But they were going to be the big one.
They were, as far as like harder metal went,
they were on trajectory to be.
Well, they're good.
Oh, yeah, they were so good.
They were
great.
They were just great.
I'll play you one of their songs before we, you know.
I remember my mom went to watch his funeral.
Yeah.
And they buried him with his dog.
Yeah.
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 It was just heartbreaking.
Mommy came back so sad.
Yeah. But Snot, they. The singer was named Lynn Strait, and he was the most mischievous,
naughty,
nicest, craziest fucking guy imaginable. He had the biggest shit-eating grin on his face at all time, at everything.
I've done it again.
He was special.
He was
one of those people that are special. They've got so much charisma and talent.
But you know
and
what?
You could just spot
you know, there are people you know? I've met through my career that I've gone, I don't know, you know, they're too good to be here.
Yeah.
They're so good at what they do. They're too good to be.
Yeah. Randy was like that.
Yeah. So I was thinking.
Special people. You know, they've got like a tick on them, you know.
Yeah.
Stand out from the crowd.
And then I'm thinking after them.
There was
Marilyn Manson was pretty bad with the trashing of the dressing rooms.
Yeah, Marilyn Manson was bad. Yeah, he destroyed a lot of dressing rooms.
But he, do you know what? I told him from the beginning. You play, you pay. So if you want to pay to get the dressing rooms redone, that's fine. Go ahead, do it. And he did. He paid for everyone and just carried on doing it.
I must admit,
it was his choice.
I did participate in destroying some dressing rooms with them.
Thank you very much for telling me, Jack. And thank you, Marilyn, for paying us.
Yeah, thank you.
When he first came on the tour, it was like, you're like, God's on the tour.
Yeah. There was that air.
What's he going to be like? Is it that bad?
Security was like back at us. Says, you fucking pushing me off.
I remember one day I was walking past and his security went, you can't come down here. And I was like, why not? He goes, this is Manson's part of the. He's like, do you see your name on the dressing room? And I just pointed at, because it would always say Ozfest and then the artist. And I just pointed to the Ozfest and he just went, all right, fair enough.
But Marilyn was okay.
Marilyn,
and to be honest, nothing to do with the Ozfest. He's been taking a really beating lately in the press.
Well, just to what Mom said, you play, you pay. I mean, it's like, listen, mm-hmm. it's a different time. There was a lot of crazy shit that clearly happened or allegedly happened.
And a lot that didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot that didn't. So it's, you know.
I think for that, I think my stance is, listen, just I reserve, you know, my rights for comment until after everything's come to the surface. But my experience with Manson was always.
It's weird that it all went and it all got.
Do you remember when he gave us the poopy powder to put in someone's drink and we put it in that girl's drink and she shat herself?
I don't remember
that. You don't remember that?
We've gone back to shitting.
Where? Why is it always got to go back to shit, Kelly?
Because these are the stories. This is like what. What actually happened?
I'm going to cut together.
It's not just me.
It actually, Kelly, it really is. I'm going to cut together a montage of how many stories of shit you've said.
That would be funny.
She likes to leave my baby alone.
She likes to poop.
Yeah, it makes me feel lighter and clean inside.
But yeah, I just think, you know, the stuff with Manson is...
It's all right.
Listen, I go by what I know, and what I know, and the way he was to us was very respectful. He was always acted very appropriately, whatever. And all I know is every night there were women waiting to get on his tour bus, begging to get on the tour bus. And my whole thing is, What did you think he was going to do? Show you his stamp collection?
That's a good point.
You know, what was he going to do? Teach you to knit?
He might have a good stamp collection, how do you know?
No, but what were they going to do? Crochet on the bus?
Play a game of chess?
Yeah. You never know. It could be.
No, I don't think so.
But as I
said with the stuff with Danny Masterson, I knew him in a social setting.
That's it.
We spent a lot of time out and about. What goes on behind someone's door?
You never know.
You never know. You can't say. And I think, you know, just got to see what comes out in the wash with it. But it is.
Blind Melon Camp.
Huh?
With Blind Melon?
Blind Melon never played. No, they never played.
He passed away before.
Before the tour.
No, he passed away.
I remember also Papa Roach causing a lot of trouble and getting them to rip up the grass that we'd have to have relayed every single, after every show.
Yeah.
And you'd go insane.
Wait, hang on a second. If we're going to talk about causing trouble, this one caused the most trouble.
When?
Why? When? Which one?
Refusing to get off the plane to play the gig, and a full-blown fucking riot kicked off, an entire venue destroyed. It was like the Toyota Center.
Why was I throwing that one, Boo?
I know exactly why.
Oh, come on, tell us.
She tossed out your Vicodin stash, and you went fucking nuts.
Oh, she, the cat's mother.
Yes.
Meow. Puss.
When one of the band members announced that Ozzy wasn't here, the guys ran to the fence and started tearing it down.
They knocked down an 18-foot wooden wall.
The police had the riot gear on, ready to go in.
Found your stash, tossed it. I remember we were sat on the runway with Mike Borden. It was Trujillo.
Trujillo, yeah.
I think, who was playing for Dad? I think it was Zach or was it? No, I don't think it was Zach. Was it Joe Holmes?
Yeah, I think it was Joe Holmes.
It was Joe.
And he was refusing to get off the plane, and we were sat there for hours, and the phone, hey, they're getting really pissed off.
I was
here
with Mom, and you were with Dad.
No, we
weren't
were
you?
All on the plane.
Were we?
All
on the
we
plane.
Were all on, because I have a memory of him screaming and punching the side of the plane.
Oh my God, yes!
And as the time would tick on, hey, they're getting real crazy here. Is he coming or not? And then it would be like, okay, they're starting to rip up the chairs. And as it just got worse with every phone call. And it got so bad, I forget the name of what the venue was, but it was like the Toyota Center, and they had cars.
I've blocked it out of my mind.
They had cars everywhere, like on display, and they flipped the cars, they burnt the cars. The place was destroyed. Like riot police had to come in. You just didn't want to go to work that day.
One of those things. You can't do it every day.
No. Listen, when greatness can't just appear. It has to be cultivated.
In Dad's defense, I'd be pissed off too. I would be pissed off. I don't think I'd have been like, I'm not doing it then.
How many riots have you been at the center of? I won't say responsible for, but at the center of.
The Randy one was pretty bad.
And the one in San Diego was pretty bad as well.
What Randy one?
Did a show.
We were booked to do Long Beach Arena, but I had a bad throat. We said, if you got a ticket stub, we'll allow us to go to the...
So if they had a ticket stub, they could go to Irvine?
Yeah, from Saturday to Wednesday. Well, these people from Saturday were still getting... the audience was fucked up, stoned. So they put all the people from... Most of the people from Long Beach at the back of the Irvine thing. So it was all on the hill. So they're all shouting, and somebody said they're all at the back. So I go, okay. I said, come on down. So they fucking, words I wish I'd never fucking said. Because they fucking come down like a fucking avalanche. They didn't stop Randy Rhodes' mum was there. We were doing the gig for Randy Rhodes. So we're going to buy him
out. It was the tribute show, right?
Yeah.
For his, we're going to pay for a better tombstone for him or something. So like they didn't stop at the stage. They all come on the stage, ripping the gear. He's like fucking...
They all came on the stage and took all the equipment.
Yeah.
And I come off the stage and you can hear through the PA, fuck off. Mum was like, go up there, Ozzy. And she can come out the PA, go up there, Ozzy, and tell them, they don't stop, we're not going to play. I said, it's a fucking man. He's coming out of the PA all this.
You guys are having an argument on the PA.
Yeah.
This is the mic. God fuck you, could try it, sir. Mrs. Rhodes is going, is this what always happens?
Oh, Mrs. Rhodes.
She was a dear old friend.
Oh, God. The best.
I remember there were tornado warnings at Ozfest.
Yeah, we had to, we'd evacuate. And,
always when we were in
the Midwest.
South Beach.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was cool, when I took the helicopter from here to San Bernardino.
San Bernardino.
So, and you're flying in. And it was like a great to fly over the crowd.
Yeah.
It's like amazing when you see it from the air.
Do you guys still have the record at San Bernardino?
Yeah.
It was like, 65,000?
Well, it was more. Yeah. And I think they were telling Porky's about how many people were in there.
What? Just for, fire reasons?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember when you go, if you go there by road, the fucking traffic starts.
It's terrible. It's, and you'd always have to commit to, are you doing a runner or are you staying for another 2 hours?
Yeah.
No. And I remember that one when we stayed with the Sabbath tour, what I did. And Jesse was being a naughty, but Jesse Wild.
Who's just about to get married in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And, I mean, just because
can you believe it now?
Fucking hell, time goes by.
Baby Jesse
is a big record executive now.
Oh, really?
Is he?
Yeah, he's doing great.
Where's he work? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. What is the largest crowd you've ever performed in front of?
Oh, so the US Festival.
US Festival?
Or the first
Rock in Rio
US Festival. There's 500,000 in one, they said. And there's a lot close to that in the US Festival.
In the Rock in Rio site, it was going on for 3 days. And what was happening was people were getting their place and not moving. So they were... going to the bathroom where they were, and afterwards the place was so contaminated it had to be bulldozed.
I go on stage. I'll tell you what. I know we did two shows, the Saturday and the Wednesday. By the time I did it, I went straight to the stage on both nights. The second show I got, and the smell was fucking.
The crew were all wearing bandanas
around their face. The smell was fucking unbelievable.
When they used to go in the crowd to do the lights and sound, mm-hmm. they were like all sick.
Oh,
the
my
smell
gosh.
Was unfucking believable.
Oh, hard to catch a show.
I've always wondered where, when you see audiences that big, where they go to the bathroom.
Well, there's never enough bathrooms.
Never
but the
enough.
Thing was,
they day kind of have it down day, now.
Yeah, now. But
I mean,
not
the US
in those
Festival,
days.
It was like four fucking portable.
Where was the US Festival held at?
What I remember, Van Halen.
Here in LA.
Oh, it was in LA.
Van Halen got $1 million.
It was at the the Motor Speedway, wasn't
Speedway.
It? The Speedway.
And there were so many people there that they found two or three people dead the day after the festival had finished.
Wow.
Amongst all the rubbish.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe
that? And
how
some
sad?
Girl
how sad.
Got kidnapped and fucking years later, like 8 years later, they found her in this trailer park being held against the wall and that big.
Wow.
No, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. So many people. It was just unbelievable.
To that point, Ozfest had an impeccable safety record.
Did?
As
yeah,
fucking
it did.
Crazy as it was and as mental as the crowds were, I can't think of, I think maybe there was one or two fatalities and it was always drug or alcohol induced.
It was, one of them was coming out of San Bernardino. And the weather turned, the wind whipped up,
mm-hmm.
and nobody could see. And all the police were like, you know, trying to see to direct the traffic. And one policeman got run over, unfortunately. But we never had any fatalities at our show.
Yeah.
Never. Everything was like 100% proof.
We had people die during the tour, though.
On the tour?
Yeah. Don't you remember that one band, the singer died from a Vicodin overdose?
He was found in his
bunk.
Drowning pool. Was that
drowning
on Ozfest?
Yeah, it was on Ozfest.
I think it was. I can't remember.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad.
But as far as safety goes for the crowds, it was fine.
When you see things like the Firefest documentary, or, you know, what recently
happened with, like, Travis Scott and the overcrowding.
What's the Fyre Festival?
Fyre Festival, this, like, two-bit hustler from New York City, it basically threw together, like, a fake festival and sold tickets for it and had people show up. But there was no festival. And people were just left on this island in the Caribbean with no food, no water, no bands, nothing.
No money.
It was just a complete ruse.
What happened to him?
I think he's going to prison, although there is an announcement. He did come out with an announcement.
Saying that they're going to do Fyre Festival.
Yeah, he's...
Talking of which, this show, the Burning Man was a big disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
a little muddy.
No, but it's been such a huge success, year after year after year. It was just the weather was against...
You got to have one mulligan.
Yeah.
Did anybody kill there?
No,
someone died this year.
Really?
I swear to you. If you look
but
it up.
But it's like the most peaceful love and peace.
They're all so out of their mind on drugs and it's so hot, people will pass out in the heat and they'll die of exposure.
Oh my God.
That's horrible.
Yeah, there's always deaths at Burning Man.
That's the thing.
It's like an older people's festival.
It is an older people's festival.
Older people were younger people one time. And they are.
But they forget that they're older people. And one guy was so off his mind, he threw himself into the burn. They burn a big effigy, and he ran into the fire and burned himself to death.
Must have been on hallucinating.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely bouncing off the rings of Saturn. When you see stuff like, you know, the tragedies at festivals, like what happened to Astroworld, and
seven people.
It was overcrowding, not enough security, terrible planning, and
what was that one with
people
the
got trampled
rapper,
to death.
This is what we're
That's
talking
the
about.
One.
This is the one. He got trampled to death.
He got arrested, didn't he?
No, I don't know. Did he?
No,
he didn't. But he was told at the beginning of the show from the fire marshal and everybody, like, please be careful and don't incite anything. And he had his warning.
I said it. That was it.
There was a child who
died.
A little boy.
Oh.
I think he was 12.
But when you see stuff like that, and obviously I wasn't nearly it. I mean, you organized it. Do you get pissed off when you see stuff like that because it's so avoidable?
Yeah. I do get pissed off. And unfortunately, you need to have somebody with the balls to walk up on stage and go, stop. Because people on that stage, some of them could see what was happening. And so you pull the plug, you pull the sound, you go up and you say, like part. Everybody part.
Nobody
likes to do it. Everybody looks at everybody else and they're all like, what do we do? And even though you've got your production managers, your manager, your agents, all of these people, and it's like, get on that stage and just
I remember
stop it.
Doing a gig.
It's the most simple thing.
It wasn't an artist, it was this guy. When you're on stage, you can sort of spot the one in the crowd. And this guy was standing there with his arms crossed, looking, not rocking, just sitting there. He suddenly goes, whack, to this fucking guy beside him, smacked him in the face, and folded his arms, and I'm going, what the fuck's he all about? But you can, it's like the one in the crowd.
So you can spot. It's clear as day.
It depends on your lighting.
Anyway,
let me finish. So he cracks his girl, and I'm going to the circle guy. Get this fucking thing out of here. So they get him. So Brian Henry, who was the manager guy, goes down, gets him, and he's gone. I thought he'd throw him out. So when I finish the set, I go upstage, and the cops have got this kid, and he's got his hands handcuffed behind. And this guy is fucking, I swear I'm not lying, degloving his hand through the fucking
handcuffs.
He's pulling the handcuffs over his skin, and his skin's going, and the cops are going, slow down, buddy, what the fuck are you doing? But he was on that TCP.
GHB.
PCP.
Yeah. Whatever that fucking said. And he was literally pulling the skin off
of it. It's going back to when you see something happening in the audience. It depends on your what's going on in your lights in front of you, because sometimes artists are blinded if there's special effects going on, whatever.
I can never have spotlights directly in my face because I can't see what's coming. I mean, over the years, you can imagine what kind of things I had to dive and fucking avoid.
But when you're doing huge, huge stadiums or huge festival sites and you're the headliner, you should always have your own, not just for the band, not just band security. You need a venue security head for you to represent you. So your head of security is there dealing with the venue security.
Letting the venue security do their thing.
Never, never, because there's always mistakes on both sides. So if you've got two, you know, you avoid, you avoid that. So you've always got your head of security always out there the whole time on radios to all the other security directors, and it just has to be like a regimented you can't just let these things go and the promoter's great, he's done this for so long and yada yada yada. You know, sometimes the promoters will let in more people than they should, and it gets past the fire marshal, so there's too many people to control in a site. That's happened loads of times. And, you know, sometimes the artist will incite it. And if you know that you're head of security for an artist that is known for inciting kids to come up on stage or to come closer to the stage, it's got to be stopped because people will die.
You know, knowing what you know of that and your expertise in organizing festivals and dealing with crowds of similar size to the kind of what happened at Astroworld, how do you think that could have been avoided?
I don't know because I wasn't there, but I read that at one point there was an ambulance driving through the crowd and the band was still playing.
Mm.
It's like, what insanity is this?
The barrier was very weak as well.
Mm.
I mean, what happened to Donington that one year? Was they all got crushed. You remember they all got fucking crushed.
And that's when
they had the boulders going through the crowd, and now they part the crowd. So the crowd can't just be one mass.
Yeah.
They part you in the middle.
Now they even do it more.
It's like a T-shaped thing.
Yeah. So unfortunately, by horrible mistakes.
They're about halfway down the fucking field before you see the first row.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really far away from the stage.
And when you're on stage, it's like you're playing to nobody. You can't see the fucking audience.
Oh, because they're so far back.
Yeah, they're so far back.
Yeah. Did you ever see any of the it was the Woodstock 99 documentary?
Yes, I did. I saw
a bit of it. It was disgraceful.
Did you see it, Kelly?
No.
It was done by my favorite promoter, John Scheer.
I heard about what they said, though.
My favorite promoter. He was the first promoter that I ever had a fight with.
Yeah?
The first one ever.
So the promoter of the actual festival, not the documentary.
The festival.
Yeah.
He and I never got on anyway, but he was the guy that did the Woodstock again.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that never had enough toilets, wouldn't let people take in water. There was no shade. It was badly organized from A to B to C. And that's when the kids, you can't do that to them because they will rebel. But they did rebel.
Didn't people die there?
Yeah, a bunch of people. There was murders, rapes, everything. But you want to know what pissed me off about the documentary? And it did my fucking head in. So watching the documentary and... They compared Woodstock 69 to Woodstock 99. They were talking about in 69, it was all peace, love, flowers in your hair, you know, some of these amazing performances, this, that, and the other.
Legendary.
And then they started picking apart the bands that were on Woodstock 99. And it was a lot of new metal, rap metal, bands that had toured with us.
Mm-hmm.
And in one version of the documentary, they surmised that the reason why it all went shitstorm outside of the, lack of infrastructure and water and, and
toilets
and everything. They said that it was because of racism and heavy metal inciting racism.
And which is like the most insane thing ever.
So it sounds like something that the promoter would have come up with.
That's what they said. Yeah.
They basically said, in so many words, they had these young, kind of, 20-something-year-old journalists who write for, music magazines now, who probably were still sucking their thumb when it all went down, had no memory of it, reflecting and being like, well, racism was a huge part in why it all. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You'll never meet a more accepting group of people than fucking heavy metal fans.
And that was so great about Ozfest.
Yeah.
And it was like summer camp for everyone where you got to be around people that were like and you weren't the weird kid in school anymore.
Yeah.
It's what you say. If people get frustrated if they don't have the right color. Toilets and
it's so true.
The kids aren't stupid, they won't stand for it. And it's just not fair. It is not fair because they were taking every dollar that those kids had. And it's like they were cutting costs. There was just badly run, no infrastructure, not enough security, not enough shade. It just goes on and on and on. Oh, great. Blame the bands.
Yeah.
Blame the bands. Yeah. They were the ones.
Yeah, because fill in the blank, racism. Like, who do we blame? Racism.
I mean, that is just insanity.
Yeah.
Just insanity. Well, I'd like to just thank all of our Ozfest fans for all the years that they supported us.
Fans.
Yeah, it is one big family.
Yeah.
And if you weren't there, you don't know what we're talking about. But
if you were there,
amazing.
And if you were there,
you're part of the club.
Yeah, and a part of history, really.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Musical history. And it was great years.
We've had some fun over the years, haven't we?
We have enough, my darling.
On that note, let's close it out.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. It's lovely to see you. Speak to you and see you.
Loves you.
Everything everyone's doing is basically ripping off Black Sabbath anyway.
Ozzy, we fucking love you!
I keep saying, when's the end coming? When's the end coming? But they're still out there, and I'm thinking, what the fuck is he doing? We'll be right back.